Did you come from originally?
I grew up in Tennessee, but then when I got married, we lived at quite a few places. So the last place we lived before Houston was Colorado.
A lot of Tennesseans have come to Texas to help us, help fight in the Alamo. And I'm a docent at a history museum, so are we about ready? Okay. This is Ellen Cablett. Today's date is November the 4th, 2011. It is 11 a.m., and I'm conducting an interview with Beth Johnson. And for Quilters SOS, Save Our Stories, a project of the Alliance for American Quilts. Beth and I are at the International Quilt Festival in Houston, Texas. Beth, would you tell me about the quilt you brought today?
This is a quilt I did early when soon after I started quilting, and it's based on a photograph I took of my son in Trafalgar Square in London. This is when he was about 6 or 7, but he was a grown-up when I did the quilt, so I wasn't a quilter back then. I just enjoyed the pose and the body language so much, and so let's get the thread off. So I drew it out, and I was, and I pieced it. It's all pieced in, except for the overhangs in his nose and mouth around there. Applique because I didn't trust myself. But the rest is all pieced. The birds are all pieced. And when I was working on it, I realized it was too small a quilt for what I wanted. And I had already started and didn't want to redesign it. So I added this big border. And when I did that, it made the quilt stronger because I didn't want the border to look like it was an after. You know, like a mistake. Oh, we got to make it bigger. Let's add a border. So I added these other birds. And I think they really helped the piece. So it was one of those things, mistakes make it better.
I agree. It's just really great. Well, you've told us about the meaning that it has. Why did you choose this quilt to bring?
Why did I choose it? Because it's my husband's favorite, I think.
Oh, that's nice.
I kept saying, what quilt should I bring? And I was thinking, I've done, the first quilt or the quilts about my mother or, 9/11. And those are sort of expected choices. And I kept saying, bring the cabin quilt. He calls it the cabin quilt. And I realized, that's one of his favorites. I'll bring the cabin quilt.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wonderful story. How did you get interested in quilt making?
I was not a quilter until I moved to Houston. In Colorado, I was an art teacher and I'd paint it. And I didn't even go into those fields until I was an adult and had a kid and then went back to school. So, I was into the math and sciences and then I got into the arts. And then when we were about to move here, and my mother had just started quilting. So I wasn't with her when she started quilting. She was doing an art quilt. We had painted together. And so she kept saying, when you move to Houston, you're going to become a quilter. And all I needed was one more thing, to be jack of all trades and master of none. And I kept poo-pooing this. And I sewed when my son was little for myself, but I hadn't seen sewn in years. And she kept saying, there's this big show, she couldn't remember the name of it, and you're going to have to go, and there'll be things about it, you'll see it, and you have to go, and you're going to be a quilter. And so we moved here in June. We didn't get into our house until October, and typical new houses, you're waiting for them to come fix something. I was just real frustrated, didn't know people, and I saw the big thing that year on the quilt festival, and I said, I'm going to go downtown. I got in the car. Oh, the George Brown is next to a freeway. I can get there. Well, we all made those mistakes.
Yes.
But anyway, I got here, and it was a Friday afternoon. I was so blown away by the quilt. It was smaller than it was two ballrooms. I was so blown away. I particularly like the traditional quilts that were done in modern fabrics.
Yes.
They had an exhibit on the Oklahoma bombing, response to the Oklahoma bombing, and I never thought about quilts as being in an artistic forum. I was blown away. So I went to see my mother about 2 weeks later, and I was talking to her. It was really interesting, and I really loved, I don't know about sewing all that, but I would love to design with these fabrics. I had to come back 2 more times that weekend.
Right.
Didn't sew, didn't quilt, but I had to keep coming back. So then the last day of my visit, after I talked to my mother about that, she comes popping out of the bedroom and said, basically, put your money where your mouth is. There was a call for Tennessee artists for a hospital for artwork by Tennessee. And she says, we ought to design for it. So we went over there and looked at the site, and we started designing a quilt. But by then I went home, so we were designing a quilt, if you can imagine, long distance.
Oh.
She had made one art quilt. None of us knew the rules. And then we heard that we were in the top three, and we still don't know how to quilt. So we start to panic. Even though this is going to be an art quilt, we need to know basics. So I signed up here for a beginning class because I'd rather know the rules before I try breaking them. And she went on her merry way. And then the hospital changed hands, so they held up the selection. We thought, God, we got to make one anyway. Anyway, we end up making one. The hospital didn't want any fine art, and I kept the quilt. It was wonderful because they didn't deserve the quilt. And my mother did most of it. I designed it and painted it. But that was the beginning.
Oh, wonderful.
So, a good story.
I think it's a terrific story. And the quilt show, the International Quilt Festival inspired
it did.
That's totally great.
My mother was right. You know, it's one of those things. I was real close to my mother, but still, she didn't have to be right about one more thing.
So what is your favorite part about quilt making? The design process or the actual work?
Both.
Great.
I like it. I think quilt making is like raising a kid. You know, you have this thing in your head, and you're all excited. So that's when you're thinking about your other pregnancy, you know. And then it's hard to translate that into paper, and that's sort of the birth.
Yes.
And then it comes along, and you're all excited. You're getting your fabrics, you're touching stuff, and I love that part. And then you get to that stage where it's not really what was in your mind. And you got to make, you know, it's sort of taking on its own little life, and you have this little thought in your head, and I'm thinking, so I call that the terrible two stage. And then you sort of get past that, and you do really fine, and you really get going, and you're responding to the quilt now, and you're working, and I love that part where you just, oh, no, I can change that and make it work. And then I cut to what I call the teenage stage. It's almost done. You know it's working, but it's just not quite right. And you know
yes.
It's not going to take much, but something. And so, you know, I had those little hiccup places, but so I like it all.
Doesn't look like it. Is there anything you don't like about quilt making? Any processes?
I like the quilting process once I get into it, but it's the hardest for me. I don't like the hand applique, but I can do it when that's what's needed. I don't enjoy that much as handling the fabric. But yeah, I guess I enjoy most of it.
That's great. It obviously was meant for you. Let's see. Do you use a design wall?
Yes. I wouldn't, yeah.
Do you leave things up all the time, or do you put them up as you're working, or do you work all the time? That's a better question.
I wish I could say I worked all the time. The last 2 years, I haven't worked as much because my mother was dying of cancer and different things. But, yeah, I pretty much continuously have something going, but I don't have tremendous output. So I have something going, but it may take a long time in that incubation stage.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I keep the drawings up. If I'm in the drawing where I'm planning a design, I keep what I'm thinking about up on the design wall. When I've got my drawing, like now I have a drawing up on there and the first selection of fabrics up there. So, yeah, I almost, and then as I'm working, I have stuff up there. So, yes, I have it up there.
It's really about your process, and
yeah.
That's helpful to know. So.
Yes.
I'm getting clues here.
That's fine.
What do you think makes a great quilt?
I'm coming from my art background. I think strong design is number one.
Okay.
And I think the traditional quilts all have that. So I'm not, I, as much as I think of myself as an art quilter, I think traditional quilts did that beautifully. I think technique has to be there, but I don't think it should be number one. But I think it can't be so bad that it gets in your way of the enjoyment of the quilt.
Right.
That pretty much covers everything about a quilt.
What do you think makes it artistically powerful as an art quilter?
The designs.
Just the same?
Well, I think it's everything. I mean, design covers everything. So it would cover
right.
The texture.
And the colors.
The colors. I like strong values, but that's a personal aesthetic. I don't think it's necessarily a quilt without that is bad, but I really like strong values in a quilt. I like color, but not necessarily everything with a lot of color.
Right.
If it's a pictorial, the one thing I like about design or don't like about design, I hate things put on a quilt just because they can. You know, whatever the new point, you know, you got the new yo-yo maker, so we're going to fill a quilt with yo-yos. I want the yo-yos to be integrated into the design. There's a reason that's there. So I'm not really real fond of overabundance unless the quilt is about over it.
Over, right.
And then it's appropriate. But I want it to be appropriate. I don't want a lot of quilting lines just because I have a new machine. I want every quilting line to add to the... And I think those decisions are made in the designing. Or as you progress. I know on this quilt, for instance, I put in a lot more quilting lines and had to take them out because I thought they distracted. That's not to say now I might have known how to do that in a different way to make it enhance it. But I think sometimes more is just more.
Right.
Other times I think more is good. So.
Yeah. Are you quilting into it more now that you have more experience
yes.
than you did?
I am.
Yes. Well, you've already said your mother was your big influence. Are there any quilt artists that were a big influence to you? Or quilt makers?
I think Ruth McDowell probably more than any other quilter. I bought her books before I ever became a quilter because I loved how she used fabric. And that was something I wasn't seeing in the painting world because we had to add all our pattern.
Right.
And here she was taking this wonderful pattern and using it. So, and I bought also Katie Pasquini Massapus books, her early art and inspiration book, before I ever became a quilter. So, yes.
It sounds like your destiny.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
really does. Are those the people whose works you're drawn to, or do you have other quilters who...
I like so many quilters now. You know, those are the early ones just because I was working in that style more with painting. I almost hate to put names because there's just so many.
Well, it's okay, and we know that you might lift out, but it's nice
yeah,
to hear a few.
Right now I'm very fond of Peggy Brown's work, and I knew her as a watercolor. I mean, I knew her work as a watercolorist, and I love how she's translated to fabric, and it's very abstract. I love Hollis Chandler's work. There's just so many people's work I love. I can't even start to do justice. So.
Yeah.
And I have many good friends who work traditionally, and I felt like this show this year was very strong in that and
yes.
resonated within me. So.
Do you belong to a quilt group, an art quilt
yes.
bee? Or?
I belong to the Lakeview Quilters Guild, which is in mm-hmm. South Houston. And then I belong to two bees. One's Kindred Spirits, and we meet once a week in people's homes, and it's a mix of quilters, you know. And we've been together for years, and it's very supportive. And then I belong to an art quilt group, a critique group that meets once a month. And that has great energy. So you come from one with the support of women, you come from one with the creative synergizing energy. So
that's wonderful.
Yeah, it is.
Why is quilt making important in your life? I think you've partly answered that, but that's one of my questions.
I think it just resonates with me. I thought I would, when I got into it, I thought I would both paint and quilt. But I really, quilting's sort of taken over. I think I just enjoy handling the fabrics. I like all the choices out there. I like that it's... And I think it's much more social than painting, and I think I like that connection with other women, even though other women aren't doing my quilts. I think that's important to me. And every once in a while I'll do a traditional quilt just because, and I really like going back to that once in a while because it makes me realize why people like patterns and like fabric, because it's something tremendously satisfying about just putting fabric together. So everyone, and I teach, my sister now has a quilt store.
Oh.
We brought her to festival one year, and lo and behold, she now owns a quilt store. So it all started from that first visit.
That is amazing. And your mother knew.
Yeah, she did, didn't she?
Do you think that quilts have an importance in the history of women in America?
I do. I didn't really appreciate that before I got into quilting. I thought when that first show, it was little old ladies quilting. And I take that back because I actually did know people who were doing beautiful quilting in Colorado. It just, I did not understand the interest or appreciate the interest. And they were doing beautiful, though traditional type quilts. I had my painting, and I couldn't imagine why this would be more exciting. And until I got into it, and the more I'm into it, the more appreciation I have for its history and its influence and what made it important and what not important, and the difference between countries. And I think it's an amazing thing, an amazing connection.
Do you dye your own fabrics, or do you buy commercially?
Both. I collect both.
Well, good.
Yeah, I do both.
What do you do with your quilts when you're finished? Do you give them away, or you sell them? Or
I do not sell. I do give some away.
To your friends or your family?
Yeah,
or?
And that's especially with the quilts, the big bed quilts and things. I don't make too many of those, but I usually have somebody in mind when I even make that. My son, the grandchildren, of course, have to have quilts.
Of course.
Sometimes they're practical things, like giving them to my sister for her shop, samples, that kind of thing. The art quilts, I'm much more picky about who gets them.
Yes.
I haven't given them to my son yet, and it's not because I don't think he won't love them or his wife won't love them. My daughter-in-law is very appreciative. I don't think they're ready for them in their lives yet. And they're pretty much, and to be honest, I don't have a single one of my quilts hanging in my house.
That's interesting.
It took me years before I put my paintings in my house, and so the paintings are there. So I figured the next house, the quilts were gone. I don't know.
What do you teach at your sister's shop or at any shops?
I teach at my sister's shop because they are in a small town in Tennessee, and they do not get many people. Their guild isn't like our guild that can bring in names. So they think anybody from Texas and lives in Houston has got to be a big name. They're really excited when I come.
With all your wonderful quilts, I think you are. So what do you think is the biggest challenge that quilt makers have today?
I think probably it's the same challenge they've had for years, making people realize what a contribution it makes, what an industry it is, in the art quilt field, to realize it is indeed an art form and accept it as some. I think all those things are ongoing challenges, but I think the world's getting smarter.
Yes, I think so. Let's see. Your quilts are mostly hung on the wall, right?
Yes.
They are not.
The majority of them, yes.
Okay, let's see. Do you think your quilts reflect where you live, or do you think that they are more wide in scope?
I like to think they're wider in scope than where I live. I would like to think they resonate with viewers that are not just from Texas.
Absolutely. I think they are, but I wanted to be sure. I wanted to ask you.
I do the quilt foremost for myself. That's the reason I make a quilt.
That's
so
pretty
important. I wanted to make this quilt, and I don't worry about competitions. I don't worry about possibilities. I have just learned to trust myself and do the quilt. And then if there's a venue for it, then there's a venue for it. It doesn't really make any difference. After I finish the quilt, I'm not as concerned about it for
pretty
some
good.
Reason. I don't.
The awards are not important, it's just
no, it's
the doing.
It's a nice validation. I think all artists love to have their work validated, but no, that's, I would be doing it without that. I appreciate that I've had these opportunities to show work. For instance, the 9/11 quilt, I had to make that. I went around to all my friends in the neighborhood to get the right fabric. I couldn't even get to a quilt shop in Houston. There are quilt shops you can get to. And I was thrilled that later there was a venue to share my response, but it didn't make any difference. That quilt was being made, and that's pretty much the way my other quilts, with one or two exceptions.
And you feel emotions, of course, obviously, when you make them. Did you make anything besides the 9/11 quilt that would commemorate a specific event like that?
My mother and I, I did the I Remember Mama quilts for 3 years. The first year was the first quilt my mother and I made. That first year was on nurturing quilts, or quilts about nurturing her mother, and they could be any quilt. And my mother and I did that first quilt that we had made that started the quilt career. We entered that and got in. Well, then we had to remake half the quilt because we didn't want anybody to see you in our first year. But we made the quilt and it hang, and Mother was always pleased because she felt like it didn't get its desserts. And the next year was it had to be a generational quilt, if you remember.
Yes.
So my mother, my sister, myself, my sister's a twin. Oh. I should have said that. My mother, my sister, myself, my sister's daughters, she has daughters, I have a son. She, her daughter and her granddaughter all worked on that quilt.
Oh.
We had the granddaughter was four. We had her stamp fabric. My niece, so my sister's daughter would no more come near a sewing machine, but she sewed a few seams. And anyway, it was all pictures of us holding our daughters as babies. And then we beat it up. So everybody sort of had a job. Mother had a job at the trumpetto, and I had a job at this, and Jeanette had a job of this.
And, oh, how wonderful.
And yeah, so that had meaning. And then the next year was in honor of my mother. She was present, and my mother-in-law had gotten very ill at that time. My mother kept saying, "You have to finish this quilt." And I kept saying, "I don't know if I can deal with it." And I think I was sort of concerned too, you know, when I don't mean this to sound morbid or anything, but when somebody's passed away, it's easier to do a quilt about in their memory than sometimes do a quilt in their honor, because you don't know how they're going to react to what you are choosing to put in a quilt. And so I chose memories from my childhood and my watching her as a grandmother and so forth, and made this quilt. And when she cried, she saw it. I knew it was the right choices.
Oh, but, absolutely.
But so, yeah, I almost always choose a quilt with emotion or meaning to me, whether it has meaning to someone else.
I think they evoke emotions. I definitely do. Well, you've already said your mother and sister were quilters. Now, your sister's daughter didn't become a quilter, she just participated.
That's right.
Give her time.
The granddaughter is starting to quilt, though.
Oh.
So I'm sort of wondering if it's skipping every other generation.
It might be. How do you balance your time to have time to quilt?
I'm lucky enough, I'm not working. I used to teach in school system. Mm-hmm. I don't teach now, and so I probably don't use my time as wisely as women who work outside the home are gainfully employed. But so I have a lot of time. I have the option of choosing to be in my studio when I want to be.
Well, what's your studio like?
It's wonderful. When we moved to this house, my husband was so pleased I gave up my studio and my friends back home. The big deal was to have a nice studio. So the children's room, because we didn't have children then, our son was in college, it had a big playroom. So I designed it for an artist studio. Well, that's not the same as a quilter studio, but it gets you there. And then I had later cabinets put in to store fabric. And so it's a nice big room, you know, it has a sewing table and a sewing machine and a sewing wall.
Great. Do you have friends over and come sew with you, or do you solitary
mostly? I pretty much
do
my sewing solitary.
Yeah.
Once I'm in that groove, I don't do very well with people. I like feedback, but once I'm sewing, and I like feedback during the process. I don't want all my feedback at the end, because then it's too late. I'm not likely to make any changes. But I like feedback during it, but generally when I'm sewing and making colored choices and all that, I'm working by myself.
How do you feel about, you do machine quilting, you don't
do
hand quilting. How do you feel about long-run quilting?
I think it's beautiful work. I love the people who use it, especially when they put something of themselves in it and I see the mark. I guess one of my concerns, and I don't know if I even want to be on record and say this, but one of my concerns is we have strived for perfection so much that I wonder if we're losing some of the soul. And, you know, I don't know how to stop that or get around it or how we can put the brakes on that. I think we just keep moving as these things come available and the bar gets set higher and higher. But sometimes I'm wondering if it's starting to look mechanical. It's beautiful, but it doesn't have that. substance. And I think people can use a long arm and use these things and include that. I think Carol Braille Fowler, there's no question her machine quilting, even though she's using a sit-down long arm,
right.
But there's no question it has some soul. And I think there are a lot of long arm quilters who do that. But as we get more help and the quilt people feel that the quilt police are there, and so a stitch that's not perfect is not valued. I have some concern. I think we have the tendency to lose some people who have opportunities to quilt and enjoy it because they feel like they can't achieve that perfection or they can't compete. And I don't think quilting should be about competing anyway, but I think it's a tough issue.
Well, obviously, quilting is very important to your life,
mm-hmm.
and your family
mm-hmm.
helps with that. I mean, and to the extent that they support you.
My husband's been a wonderful support. He did when I was a painter, and he now is when I'm a quilter. I think he's excited when I get excited about what I'm doing. He's a scientist. We're sort of at the opposite poles.
Right.
The spectrum.
Right brain, left brain.
And, it's been... very gratifying to have someone who they may not understand why you have to do it, but they understand that you do, and they support you so that you can. So, you know, if I'm really in a creative mood, well, I'll do the dishes, you go on upstairs, you know, or yeah, you need this room and you need this, you know. And at the same time, I'm not crazy. I mean, you know.
Yeah, sounds real normal.
Yeah.
What do you think if somebody's looking at your quilt, what they might conclude about you, any of your quilts?
Well, I think they probably say my quilts seem to be pretty clean cut, so I'm guessing they guess I'm a nice, neat, orderly person. I don't know what they would suggest. I think I would really like to get more mystery into my quilts, and I'm sort of fighting it because it's not coming naturally.
Do you feel that you're still growing as a quilt maker?
Well, I think that's how I need to grow, because I think I've sort of gotten, obviously I like shape and I like value, and those things I use consistently in every quilt. And I think those will always be important, but I guess I want not everything in front of me. I think when you look at my quilt, you know everything there is about the story, or you can make up a good story.
Right.
And I would like now to have a little bit more, not quite so much story in the quilt.
Well, I didn't ask you what your favorite techniques were and your the tools that you might use for them, so how about that?
Techniques, I do
yes.
mostly piecing, or I do invisible machine applique.
Okay.
I'm still fighting with wall edges. And I think that's a bias that's mine individually that's really not justified. I think I'm stuck somewhere, and I'm not sure that's a valid concern.
You think that might have something to do with the length of the time that you've been involved with quilt making, maybe?
I really don't know. I just think I've always liked the clean edges and turned edges, and I think when some people first started using fusible, it wasn't real neat and clean, and now it is, so it's better materials and better use of materials, and I'm still stuck with I like that. But I think the advantage to not having, being able to use those things is you can respond very intuitively. Where once you start a quilt like this, I made changes, but it's more difficult to make changes. You know, you get this thing pieced, and then you realize that didn't work. Well, that you have to either start over or cover it up somehow.
Do you ever completely start over on something just because you decided it didn't work?
Yes. Rarely. I mean, very rare. But on the quilter, which is in the museum.
Right, I know that one, yes.
The design process took forever, and then I actually did a painting to try to work out the color, and I rarely work that way. It's too planned. But I just knew something bothered me, and I'd started that design over a million times.
Well, it works.
It works now, but thankfully. But sometimes you just have to say either you've got to figure out something else or you got to say this isn't going to work. And I was almost at that point on that quilt saying it's okay then to give up this idea if it's not working. And I finally figured out what bothered me, and then I could go for it.
That's absolutely wonderful. Is there any other thing that you want to comment about what quilting has meant to you?
Well, clearly it's, you know, changed my direction. And right. About the third year, and my very first quilt was a response to my art group, my painting group, not art quilts, and they didn't know anything. And then I was so surprised, I said I wanted to take myself seriously, so that's when I said to enter shows, and the first quilt gets in the show. Well, now I know just how extraordinarily that is. But, you know, I just had been, and my husband had to come to festival one year just to see what sparked all this change in direction, because I was a pretty serious painter. And I still use, like on this quilt, I use soft pastel chalks to get my, you know, shading in the face. And so I've experimented with techniques that maybe other people don't use, but still I'm using some of my painting. That's the design skills. I don't think I'll ever go back to not quilting. I can't quite give up my paints. But I don't think I want to be a whole cloth painter. I love those quilts, but I think there's something about...
You like the textiles, too.
I like the fabrics.
Yes.
I like changing the fabrics. This year I've been more introspective of why do I like this. So it's interesting having this interview and you asking these questions. And I don't know if that's an age thing or... We've lost both parents within a few years and so forth. If it's an introspection thing and we're at a different point in our lives.
Absolutely.
And
I'm looking to see if there's anything else that I haven't, you've answered these so well. One of the questions is, have you ever used difficult times to get through? Well, you have because you've made
yes.
these quilts.
In fact, there's the quilt that's in the show, in the jury show now, was the quilt I worked on to get through my mother's chemo. And it was, the top was almost done, and we had moved her bed into the studio, her studio, because that was the biggest room. And I put the quilt up beside her bed. And it was still it was mostly peace, but it was still in pieces and decisions made. And every morning she told me that the quilt cut her through the night. And she would check and see what kind of fabrics I used. I mean, it was unexpected fabrics. So yeah, it gets me.
Well, that's wonderful.
It's a happy quilt, surprisingly.
Well,
it's over in the show. Done quilts in response to challenges when I felt like it was expected of me to participate, and I've liked those the least, but some of them have been the most recognized quilts, so it's I think they have a good place in pushing us, challenges and whatever. So emotion, yeah, I pretty much respond to anything. I don't know if that makes me a wimp or what.
Do you think there's any special way to preserve quilts for the future? I mean, your quilts or whatever?
I'm sure that people there know more than I do. I take old carpet rolls or the rolls that upholstery fabric comes on, and mm-hmm. I cover them with batting and muslin, and then I roll my quilts around there.
Oh, good idea.
I think they do better than folding because of some of my surfaces. But, you know, I think as long as we're sort of careful, I want my quilts to not fall apart, so I try to pay attention to using good materials. And I felt that way about my painting. I think if I know it's a bad thing to do, I try not to do it. But at the same time, I'm not trying to let what future generations may or may not have of my quilts rule what I'm doing. Because I think the process and the present is more important than what may be tomorrow. So.
Yes, I agree. Well, I've just learned so much about you and from you. This is just delightful.
Such a captive audience, I must say.
And you, there's a list of questions. You've really answered them in part of what you're saying. So I'd like to thank you.
You're welcome.
For this interview, and let's see, I'd like to thank you, Beth, for the allowing me to interview for the Quilters SOS Save Our Stories Oral History Project. Our interview concluded at 11:34,
okay.
Which is a short interview. I don't know how to turn that off, do you?